Good morning, and welcome to the Wednesday, December 10th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and today's date is actually Thursday, December 11th, 2025. The top of the front page, the Sydney hometown Christmas has come and gone, and it provided holiday fun for everyone. This article by Ann Roten. The Sydney Improvement Group sponsored the Sydney Hometown Christmas on Saturday, December 6th from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and it was really well attended on a cloudy and chilly but otherwise great day that finally let in a little sunshine in the afternoon. The downtown Sydney Christmas decorations had been put up on Monday, November 24th, by Sydney Maintenance Supervisor Dustin Butts and Eric Osterber. They completed the atmosphere for the event, and the day began with an 8 a.m. donation-accepted breakfast at the Sydney United Church on East Main Street. Then came, at 9 a.m., started the Shop at Home, which was at the Sydney Community Building, which gave everyone a chance to stock up on Christmas goodies, decorations, and other holiday stuff. There were 20-plus vendors in attendance at the Sydney Community Building, with lots to choose from for your Christmas shopping. The Sydney author, Fred Olds, had a table at the Shop at Home, at which his book was available for purchase for $10 each, the proceeds of which were donated by Fred to the Sydney Community Library. Isn't that wonderful? The Sydney Improvement Group's 3-mile Christmas Fun Walk and Run was a fundraiser which started at 3 p.m. in downtown Sydney, where organizers inviting those participating to wear Christmas costumes or Christmas sweaters. Proceeds went to help the Sydney Improvement Group, which will sponsor the Easter Egg Hunt, carriage rides, and the Sydney Fun Days in the summer. The Improvement Group also donates to the Rocket Backpack Program, which is really a good cause. The Sydney American Legion Post 433, Military Museum curators Bill and Susan McLean had a display set up in observance of the 84th anniversary of the attack on Pearl Harbor, which of course we all know was on December 7th. She had an exhibit set up for the public to view from 4 to 8 p.m. in the meeting room at the Sydney American Legion Post. The display was also available to view from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on the actual Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day on Sunday, December 7th. Santa Claus visited with the children, and craft projects were underway at the Sydney Community Library. The Improvement Group sponsored free carriage rides from Mary Beth Farm, and those took place from 4 to 8 p.m. in downtown Sydney, and free cookies and hot chocolate were available at Winston's Old Bank, also on David Street, from 4 to 8 p.m. A 5:30 p.m. Christmas parade was enjoyed by all, as was a fire ring that was outside the Goose and the Gander, where Christmas revelers could roast hot dogs and make s'mores. The fire ring was provided by the Sydney Improvement Group, and it was a lot of fun for kids and adults alike. The Goose and the Gander, located at 218 South David Street, was open for business, and they displayed a wild goose and a snowman cutout photo booth at which folks could take Christmas and holiday photos. The Sydney Saloon at 204 South David Street and Winston's Old Bank at 219 South David Street, along with the Sydney Library at 217 South David and the American Legion Post at 221 South David, all in Sydney, were all open during the event. A great time was had by all, and the 2025 Sydney Hometown Christmas was a great success. Next up on today's front page, we have a rundown of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees meeting on December 1st. This article by our correspondent, Ann Roten. The Village of Sydney Board of Trustees met on Monday, December 1st in the Sydney Community Building at 7 p.m. Village President John Finn brought the meeting to order following the recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance and a roll call of trustees in attendance, which included Leroy Schluter, Matt Laurent, Tyler Bickers, Donna Hooker, Dan Gattican, and Brett Harris. President John Finn asked for any public comment. American Legion Post Commander Bill Hench began his public comments by speaking about the Sydney's 50-year time capsule, which is buried in front of the Sydney American Legion Post, was buried in front of the Sydney American Legion Post on July 4th, 1976. It's due to be dug up on July 4th, 2026. It was reported that the American Legion Post doesn't have any problem with them making plans to have an event at which the time capsule will be dug up. Commander Hench went on to say that he was wondering if and when the village dug up the time capsule, whether they would bury a new one, and if so, would they bury it in the exact same place at the Sydney American Legion or at the Sydney Community Building, as the Sydney American Legion Post now owns the property where the 50-year time capsule is buried. Sydney President John Finn replied that the community building was probably where they would locate it if they buried another time capsule. Commander Hench additionally reported that when discussing the time capsule with Sydney resident Jim Herrenknecht, that Jim had made the box out of copper, 18 inches wide, 10 inches deep, and that the copper box was put in a wooden box and buried 50 years ago on July 4th, 1976. Secondly, Mr. Hench reported that the Sydney will need to get the ice off the roads in downtown, as the carriage ride folks cannot run their horses with the carriage on ice. He said he wanted to bring the subject up because there had been a problem in the past when the carriages tried to drive on ice. A discussion took place among the Sydney Maintenance Supervisor, Dustin Butts, and President Finn concerning putting additional salt down or possibly sand, and President Finn said that they would work on it. Adjutant Service Officer Bill McLean reported that he will have his Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day memorabilia exhibit set up at the Sydney American Legion Post Meeting Room at 221 South David Street from 4 to 8 p.m. during the Sydney Hometown Christmas event. He additionally reported that he will also have the display set up on Pearl Harbor Remembrance Day on Sunday, December 7th. And he invited everyone at the meeting who wanted to see the display at another time to give him a call, and he would set up special viewing opportunities. Lastly, McLean asked about the warming center at which cookies and hot chocolate are going to be served, and if workers from the Sydney American Legion Post and the American Legion Post Auxiliary were still needed, and he was told that the warming center had been moved from the Sydney Community Library to Winston's Old Bank, and that members of the Sydney American Legion Post and Auxiliary were still welcomed to provide cookies, hot chocolate, and coffee during the event. There was no additional public comment, and President Finn moved to ask trustees to look at the Monday, November 3rd meeting minutes and to approve them. A motion was forwarded and seconded to approve the November 3rd minutes, and that carried. President Finn began his comments by leading a discussion about downtown Sydney property variances. He stated he knew that nothing could be done about them at the meeting, but there are some property owners in downtown Sydney that are not handling their property variances correctly, and that something needs to be done about it because the downtown area is not looking its best. It was decided that the Sydney Board of Trustees will deal with property variances of the properties located at the following addresses on South David Street. They would be 212 South David, 216, and 220. These variance issues will be addressed at the Board of Trustees meeting on January 5th. and following, of course, a lengthy discussion. President Finn then led a discussion about the Champaign County Animal Control and its services. A motion from Trustee Matt Laurent, seconded by Brett Harris, to approve the terms and service agreement with the Champaign County Animal Control Office carried. Orkin Pest Control was discussed next by President Finn, and a motion by Trustee Tyler Bickers to pay for the Orkin Pest Control services a year in advance, and this motion was carried. Sydney attorney Mark Miller was not in attendance, but his partner, attorney Gavin Gunter, was in attendance at the meeting. Maintenance supervisor Dustin Butts did not submit a report. President Finn then led a discussion among the trustees and Dustin Butts about how he had done a good job with snow removal in Sydney. Finance Chair Donna Hooker gave the finance report and asked if Sydney Clerk and Treasurer Ashley Reinhart if there were any additional bills, and was told that there were no additional bills. A motion from Trustee Tyler Bicker to pay all of the monthly bills for November as presented with no additions, and that motion carried. Public Property Chair Tyler Bickers reported that he had no building permits and nothing else to bring up. Parks and Rec Chair Matt Laurent also reported that he had no new activity reports. The Community Development Chair Leroy Schluter reported that the Sydney Hometown Christmas event, sponsored by the Sydney Improvement Group, was a tremendous success. President John Finn asked for any old or new business. Trustee Brett Harris brought up some questions about paid leave and the Family Medical Leave Act, and decided to place further discussion on the January 5th agenda after he has a chance to look into the subject with discussion with John Finn and Ashley Reinhart. John Finn brought the meeting to adjournment following a motion from Trustee Leroy Schluter. The next regular monthly meeting of the Village of Sydney Board of Trustees will take place on Monday, January 5th at 7 p.m. in the Sydney Community Building at 211 East Main Street in Sydney. Moving on now into our community news and notes, we'll start by finding out what's going on at the Philo Library this week. The library held its annual ornament workshop and tree lighting on Sunday, December 7th. Everyone had a good time making the ornaments and decorations for their home as well. Thanks to Girl Scout Troop 2119 for volunteering to help the kids make the decorations, and for playing elves and handing out the decorations for the library Christmas tree out and back. Thank you as well to all the volunteers who helped the kids make their ornaments and provided cookies for everyone to enjoy. We're very lucky to have such support from our patrons. Thank you to everyone. Margaret Kachaturian began the tradition of trimming our Christmas tree and using recycled ornaments and ornaments made from recycled materials. That was 34 years ago, and she's been the force behind this event every year since then. Margaret was honored prior to the tree trimming this year, and we all thank her for everything she's done for the Philo Library. Our display cases have advent calendars from all around the world, and these are just a few of the many that Margaret has collected. Also, thank you to her son Steve Kachaturian, and most of you know him as Stevie J, who has led the caroling for more years than I can count. In the past, it was a duo with Steve and Jean McCormick, former Philo mayor and longtime resident. Sadly, Jean passed just a few weeks ago. She will be missed, but we will think of her each year as we have our annual holiday events. There are so many great people in Philo who use the library and who help us with all these joyful public events. We're truly blessed, and we thank every single one of you. And once again, as we say every week, thanks for reading. Next up, we have news from the Tolono Library, and they start with wishing us the best of the season. On Thursday, December 11th, we have Kids Story Time from 10 a.m. to 10:30. Bring in the little ones for some fun reading and playtime. On Monday, December 15th, we have Teen Writing Workshops from 3:30 to 5 p.m. On Tuesday, December 16th, we have the K through 12 Study Station for Math from 3:30 to 5 p.m. On Wednesday, December 17th, we have Coffee Talk from 9 until 10 a.m. Saturday, December 13th is our big holiday event. Join us from 9 to 11 a.m. for Santa in Sidoras. He's bringing some special gifts to give away, as well as a craft that you can take home. We have the adult paint class from 1 to 3 p.m. on the 13th. And then from 4 to 5 p.m., we'll have our mini book ball for ages 10 to 14 here at the library. There'll be dancing, snacks, and coloring fun. Dress in your finest. The fun continues at 7 p.m. when we host our very first winter book ball. Join us across the street at Events at 108 from 7 to 10 p.m. for dancing, snacks, crafts, and more. This is an adult-only event and designed for ages 21 and up. IDs will be checked at the door. Dress in your finest. And as always, please visit the Tolono Library's Facebook and Instagram pages and our website for more information on upcoming events at the Tolono Library. Next up, we have news from the Starkle Planetarium, which has announced a variety of new shows for spring 2026. They feature shows about new adventures and fan favorites for everyone. One of the new shows is called Messengers of Time and Space. It weaves a story that looks back at humanity's long history with the changing night sky, exploring how our perspective on the universe is being revolutionized. They do this by moon collecting light across many wavelengths, as well as cosmic rays, neutrinos, and gravitational waves. This will be an exciting one. Next up will be the Hot and Energetic Universe, and this highlights the achievements of modern astronomy, the basic principles of electromagnetic radiation, and the natural phenomena related to high-energy astrophysics. Again, another really exciting show. Next up will be Out There, The Quest for Extrasolar Worlds. This show will question if there is life on other planets. The planetarium at Parkland will also feature fan favorite shows, including The Prairie Skies, Expedition Reef, and Sunstruck for adults. And for children, shows will include Beyond the Sun, In Search of a New Earth, Cosmic Colors, Flight Adventures, and Coyote Explores the Earth, the Moon, and the Sun. On February 7th and April 11th, Un Cielo, Un Mundo, La Aventura de Big Bird at 3:30 p.m. and Astronomía a Grande Escala at 4 p.m. Both shows on February 7th and April 11th, and they're both presented by a native Spanish speaker. Next, Starkle Planetarium invites us all to rock out to the dark side of the moon with a light show set to Pink Floyd's album. Patrons will enjoy this full dome show on the first Friday of each month at 9 p.m. and at other selected times. Matinee shows will be featured on February 16th, April 3rd, and March 19th. Shows will not be held on March 20th and 21st, however. There will also be sensory-friendly settings on selected Saturdays. These shows have a lights-up and sound-down setting and a relaxed atmosphere where patrons can come and go and move around as needed. Everyone is welcome to attend these sensory-friendly shows. On the first Friday of each month at 7 p.m., the Planetarium will host the Kaler Science Lecture Series. For more information and the dates and times for the entire spring schedule, as well as free observatory open houses, the Galaxy Club, school field trips, how to sponsor a planetarium chair, renting a telescope, or booking the dome, you can call Parkland College at 217-351-2568 or simply visit their website, which is planetarium.parkland.edu. That's probably the best way, planetarium.parkland.edu. Big things are happening this spring at the Starkol Planetarium. And now we get to hear from the retired director of the Starkol Planetarium at Parkland College, David Leakey, and his column called The Night Sky will address what we have to look for from December 10th to the 16th. And he begins, Saturday night and into Sunday morning brings us maybe the best meteor shower of 2025. That's this Saturday. Meteors, or shooting stars, are actually pea-sized dust grains that the Earth runs into as we orbit the Sun. They enter the atmosphere at high speeds, shocking the air, which makes them glow. Unlike other showers, which originate from comets, the Geminids appear to have their source in an asteroid called Phaethon. Meteor activity can rival the August Perseids, which many of us watch while camping before school begins. That is, few want to watch the Geminids due to the chill in the air. This year, the moon won't brighten the sky, which will yield near-perfect conditions. You may see meteors all night Saturday, but the peak time is predicted to be near 2 a.m. on Sunday morning. No special equipment is needed. Just dress warm, grab a lawn chair, and look at the sky. Under dark skies, such as we expect, one could see up to 150 meteors in an hour. That's several each minute. Some of them could be very bright, so you can look actually for differences in color. We'll be hoping for some clear skies and maybe some warm temps to see the Geminid meteor shower Saturday night and Sunday morning. We also want to make a special note this week for the Giving Place, who has announced the passing of a special friend. And they begin, a very heartfelt and sad farewell to our friend Roberta Bleichner, who passed away this week. Roberta volunteered at the Giving Place since we first opened. She was our contact person for volunteers and a member of the Giving Place's directing committee from the beginning. She also volunteered for many other charitable entities in Tolono. Her smile, laughter, and friendship will be sorely missed. R.I.P., dear friend, Roberta Bleichner. And next up, we have news from Rocket Nation, brought to us by Diane Ducey. And she begins, the Santa Breakfast, coordinated by the team at the Philo Exchange Bank on Saturday, December 6th, was a big hit. Coordinators taking various aspects of the Tolono Fun Days, Christmas in Tolono, are hoping for a good turnout, too. Shopping in two locations in the downtown area from 9 to 3 p.m., and churches participating with programs like Make the Take and for ornaments and donuts and hot drinks at St. Patrick's was a big hit. Sub sandwiches were served for lunch at the Methodist Church, and contributions were made to the Net Positivity Group Fighting Hunger in Unit 7. The Presbyterians doing a blue Christmas service starting at 11 was for those who may be sad, grieving, or dealing with difficult situations to know that they're not alone. And we want to remind everybody about the new winter scene featured on a U.S. Postal Service Forever stamp. Features a Tolono barn. It's a red barn with a tree covered with hoarfrost. It's available right now, and a keepsake has been created for those interested in a unique $5 to $10 gift, as the Tolono Historical Society and Veterans Museum greets visitors at their open house. You can get a $10 raffle ticket, which will help replenish the winter festival funds, and a winner will be chosen at the tree lighting ceremony for the 50-50 payout and trackside certificates for those with the best decorated and lit up homes in Tolono. The homes are being judged right now through December 12th. University West's fifth grade choir, Unity West's fifth grade choir will be singing songs and leading carols, along with Christmas cookies and cocoa being served inside the Masonic Lodge before Santa gets off his carriage ride to illuminate the tree in front of the Masonic Lodge across from the police station. In other news, the Tolono volunteer firefighters have been collecting gifts for students whose families may be struggling this holiday season. Donations will be highlighted on their hero tree. Our neighbors are also grateful for Catholic Charities with their second Wednesday of the month senior luncheon for those aged 55 and over. A $3 donation is requested, and please bring a side dish to share. Coffee hour starts at 10:30, with the lunch beginning at 11:30. The food pantries in town, serving those in need, with hours at St. Patrick's Parish Hall at 304 East Vine Street from 5 to 6:30 on Mondays, and on Friday mornings from 9 to 10:30. The Giving Place is open on Wednesdays from 4 to 6 p.m. with food and clothing. Volunteers in these places, tirelessly serving others with joy, have been mourning the loss of Roberta Bleichner, who passed away on Thanksgiving. A moment of silence will happen in her honor. She is greatly missed. Her visitation, funeral, and luncheon will be on December 13th with the Methodist Church working with the family on those arrangements. And now we're going to dive right into the Rocket Rundown brought to us by our student writer, Olivia Withrufft. She begins, girls basketball played three games last week. Sadly, their first game against Clinton, Unity tried to keep up in the first quarter, where they scored 13 points to Clinton's 25, but in the end, Unity lost 64-24. The girls played Cisna Park on Tuesday and lost that one 23-52. On Thursday, they played ALAH. The girls were down at halftime, but they pulled it back out for a 38-36 victory against the Knights. This week, they play Urbana on Monday, St. Teresa on Tuesday, and on Saturday, they play in St. Joe for the annual shootout. Boys basketball had a similar schedule with three games last week as well. They played Bismarck Henning last Tuesday. Unity started the week with a win, beating the Blue Devils 53-46. They played Rochester on Friday at home. The game was indecipherable from football. Both teams scored back and forth, but Unity won 46-44. Unity played Teutopolis on Saturday for a high-intensity matchup. Unity lost 50-56. They'll play Marshall on Tuesday and Danville on Saturday. It's been quite a week. This concludes our reading of the Wednesday, December 10th edition of Southern Champaign County Today. My name is Lori Talkington for the Illinois Radio Reader, and I invite you to join us again next week. Happy holidays.